Good afternoon, 4:30 and 83 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Jacob Lindberg.
We are creating for the first time ever some kind of a permanent fund, the proceeds of which would fund projects in coal country.
Governor Bevin today announces a permanent endowment to finance projects in the SOAR area.
An appeals court has dismissed the former Morgan County judge executive's appeal of his conviction on corruption charges.
And police investigate the discovery of two bodies in Lewis County.
In sports, MSU football has some new recruits.
But Luke has the stocks.
Mostly clear tonight, low in the lower 60s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
A federal appeals court has dismissed former Morgan County Judge Executive Tim Connolly's challenge to his guilty plea and sentence in a corruption case. The Lexington Herald Leader reports Connolly pleaded guilty in 2014 to mail fraud in a scheme in which he took $130,000 in kickbacks from a contractor in the wake of the March 2012 tornado that devastated West Liberty. Connolly later asked an appeals court to set aside his plea and prison sentence of 7 years and 3 months. His attorney, Jerry Anderson, argued that Connolly had not fully understood the crime that he pleaded guilty to. The U.S. Sixth Circuit Court dismissed the appeal, saying a prosecutor read the elements of the charge against Connolly in readily understandable words during his plea hearing.
The Lonnie Martin murder trial has been postponed for 2 weeks. The trial of the 42-year-old Stanton man had been scheduled to get underway today in Rowan County Circuit Court, but has been delayed until June 20th because of the lead prosecutor's resignation. Martin is accused of killing Kyla Klein 3 years ago in Montgomery County. Her body was discovered in a shallow grave. The case was transferred to Moorhead because of pretrial publicity. Montgomery County Circuit Judge William Lane will preside in the case.
Investigators from the Kentucky State Police Post in Moorhead are continuing to look into the deaths of two Lewis County residents. Trooper Scott Farrell says authorities were called to a residence on Quicks Run Road Sunday afternoon. That's where they found the bodies of 51-year-old Kevin Ball and 36-year-old Crystal Ball.
Right now, that's about all we know. They're still investigating the incident. Is still an open investigation. I believe they're going to go back today and talk to some more people to, you know, try to find more information out about what happened there.
At this point, the KSP is not searching for suspects in connection with the deaths. Farrell, though, says the incident has not yet been ruled as a murder-suicide.
Kentucky State Police are investigating to determine if the discovery of two bodies in Montgomery and Wolf counties are related. According to WLEX, a man was found by a fisherman Saturday along Slate Creek in Montgomery County. Sunday morning, a woman's body was located in a Wolf County campground off Highway 11. The victims have not yet been identified. Police say the man had been shot. They're holding two people in connection with the male victim's death, but neither is charged with homicide. Carla Hunt and Talmadge Branham are both facing charges of tampering with evidence.
Governor Matt Bevin has announced the creation of a permanent endowment to finance projects in the SOAR region. The Republican outlined the initiative today in Pikeville at the Shaping Our Appalachian Region Innovation Summit. Bevin says the fund includes $15 million for projects that enhance economic development, improve infrastructure, promote health and safety, and invest in information technology.
It's coming from coal severance money and other monies that we have, and there will be more monies in the future. It's something that, frankly, I wish we'd started 10 or 20 years ago when the coal severance money was more robust. That said, this will be a permanent fund, the proceeds of which will be used to create and fund projects in this community.
The governor says the new Kentucky budget also sets aside $10 million for another economic development program for coal counties. Bevin says it allows the local judge executive, state representative, and state senator to propose projects that bring jobs and opportunity to the area.
Congressman Hal Rogers claims Silicon Holler is now open for business. The Pulaski County Republican and co-founder of SOAR says new investments in eastern Kentucky are beginning to pay dividends for the financially troubled region. Rogers was among those who spoke today at the Shaping Our Appalachian Region Innovation Summit in Pikeville. He says the Space Science Center at Morehead State University is now training young people for employment in the burgeoning aerospace industry. In addition, the congressman says a broadband initiative of a rural telephone company has put people to work in two of Kentucky's poorest counties, Owsley and Jackson.
Now there's some 150 people, I'm told, already working out of their homes in those two small, poor counties, doing work for Hertz Rent-A-Car and whomever. A lot of them shut-ins in their home, now being productive and earning money and providing opportunity.
Despite their hardships, Rogers says the people of eastern Kentucky will persevere as long as they stay determined and committed to innovation.
The wireless radio coaches in the National Football League will use to communicate this fall were built by six Regent Corporation interns who are recent graduates of Morehead State University's Space Science Program. That's according to the chairman of the New Jersey-based company, Bob Skeena. He told those attending SOAR's Innovation Summit that Regent's contract with the NFL depended greatly on the test of the radio system in Dallas. After concerns were raised about others listening in on the coaches' conversations, Skeena says the interns were asked to build a dozen new radios that would prevent that from happening.
Those six kids from Morehead know how to build things. We had an emergency assembly line hand-building the 12 radios needed for the test. And they took right to it. They built 12 radios. All 12 radios worked. And we got a pass on the test. And we're proceeding to build the radios for the upcoming season.
Skeena says the six MSU graduates will be among the initial employees at Regent's new Morehead office. He says the company will have 10 workers in Morehead by the end of August.
Kentucky's forest land is important to its economy, and its tree nurseries are vital for keeping those acres in good condition. So says Dr. Jeffrey Stringer of the University of Kentucky's Department of Forestry. He says the nurseries are constantly exploring ways to grow healthier trees and to do so more quickly. In addition, he says, they're conducting research on invasive plants, exotic diseases, and insects that threaten Kentucky's forests.
The issue of tree improvement and research in genetics to keep high-quality trees out there in the woods, all that kind of thing, to study genetics from the standpoint of protecting our trees from insects and diseases, exotic ones like sudden oak death, for example, requires partnership of nurseries to produce seedlings and those kind of things.
Stringer testified last week before House and Senate members of the Natural Resources and Environment Committee. He says the nurseries help ensure that Kentucky is producing high-quality timber for a variety of wood products, as well as staves for the bourbon industry.
A $26 million upgrade of State Route 7 in Elliott County is underway. Alan Blair is a spokesman for the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet's District 9 office.
A major rebuild of Kentucky 7 from the Carter County line into Newfoundland, which is there in the northern section of Elliott County. That has been a multi-year, multi-million dollar project that is just basically rebuilding that road, rerouting it, making it safer and much better for the future of travelers as well as commerce through that area.
Blair says motorists can't expect to see flaggers, lane closures, and rough patches of pavement as the work continues. He says the project is likely to be finished by the end of this year.
Agriculture Commissioner Ryan Quarles' newly appointed panel on hunger will hold hearings all over the state prior to issuing a report on the extent of the problem in Kentucky. That's what Quarles told reporters at a news conference last week. He says the Hunger Commission needs to make regional assessments and then piece its findings together. Assumptions about the issue, he points out, aren't always accurate.
Obviously, there's an income correlation with hunger, but that's not always the case. In fact, the top five counties that we know of that suffer from food insecurity range from Pike County in the east to Fulton County in the west. And it's important to realize that this is an issue that affects every single community in Kentucky, and it's not one that is unfairly cast upon a region of the state. It's something that you can find literally in every small town in Kentucky.
Locations and dates for the Hunger Commission's hearings have not yet been decided. Commissioner Quarles says the panel will probably complete its public forums before the end of the year.
The chairman of the House Task Force on Vulnerable Kentuckians says it's apparent that the state is confronted by a wide range of difficulties that have pushed many people below the poverty line. State Representative Jim Wayne is a Democrat from Jefferson County. His group held its first hearing in Louisville last week. Wayne spoke with CN2's Pure Politics.
We have major problems with employment, with education, with health care. And this isn't just a small minority of our population. It is everywhere in the state, and it's being experienced by a large proportion of our population, anywhere from 40 to 50% in some cases.
Kentucky's Cabinet for Health and Family Services says nearly a fifth of the state's people live below the federal poverty line.
The Morehead-Rowan County Recreation Committee continues to push forward with the plan to get a new recreation park in the area constructed. City Parks and Recreation Director David Morris says the panel has been working with a marketing class at Morehead State University to develop surveys that will be sent out to local residents to get their thoughts about what they'd like to have in a new park. According to Morris, those questionnaires should be sent out by late summer or early fall.
Once we get our data and get our surveys back, that's the opportunity for us to move forward and go to our legislators and say, hey, you know, hey, this is what the citizens want. This is what they say we need. We need to try to put a plan in place in terms of funding.
Morris says the Recreation Committee is looking at a few different sites for the new park. He adds MSU's old Sunnybrook Golf Course remains on their list of possibilities.
Kentucky's senior senator is distancing himself from comments made last week by presumptive Republican Party presidential candidate Donald Trump. Mitch McConnell Sunday discussed the controversy over Trump's characterization of a Hispanic judge presiding over the Trump University lawsuit as a Mexican on NBC's Meet the Press. Trump said the judge's heritage makes it impossible for him to rule fairly on the case. Although he declined to call them racist, McConnell took issue with the candidate's remarks.
I couldn't disagree more with what he had to say. This is a man who was born in Indiana. All of us came here from somewhere else. Almost all Americans are either near-term immigrants, like my wife, who came here at age 8, not speaking a word of English, or the rest of us whose ancestors were risk-takers and who got up from wherever they were and came here and made this country great. That's an important part of what makes America work.
McConnell, however, says he continues to support Trump's bid for the White House. He says the likely Democratic Party presidential nominee, Hillary Clinton, represents an extension of the Obama administration. McConnell contends that would not be good for the country.
U.S. Housing and Urban Development Secretary Julianne Castro says Democrats should wage a presidential campaign this fall that draws a stark contrast with that of Republican Donald Trump. Castro was the keynote speaker at the annual Wendell Ford Dinner last weekend at the Kentucky Exposition Center.
If Donald Trump's plan for America is divide and conquer, then our party's response has to be unite and prosper.
Castro says Trump has transformed the party of Lincoln into an organization that offers charity towards none and malice towards all.
And finally this afternoon, Kentuckians continue to mourn the death of one of their favorite sons. Heavyweight boxing champion Muhammad Ali passed away over the weekend at a hospital in Phoenix. He was 74. Friends and family in Ali's hometown of Louisville were quick to pay homage to the champ.
Muhammad Ali was born to inspire people. He's a gift to humanity. He's like a prophet.
And sent chills down my spine. Only person in the world on this earth ever sent chills down my spine. Being in their presence, I think that says it all.
I think he's a great man. I think he's going to be well missed. But I think he will live through a lot of folks with a good heart. Anybody with a heart, you know, he can still continue to live through them.
The official cause of death for Muhammad Ali was listed as septic shock due to unspecified natural causes. A public service for Ali is scheduled Friday at the Yum Center in Louisville.
Your weather tonight, mostly clear in the evening, then partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers after midnight, lows in the lower 60s, chance of rain 20%. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-70s. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy in the evening, then clearing, cooler with lows in the lower 50s. On Wednesday, sunny, highs in the mid-70s. Wednesday night, clear, lows in the upper 40s. And on Thursday, sunny, highs in the upper 70s. Thursday night, partly cloudy, lows in the upper 50s. In Ashland, it is 84 degrees, Flemingsburg, 80, Inez, 83, Lexington, 82, Winchester, 81, and here in Moorhead, it is 83 degrees.
4:45, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's good to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, the Ashland Police Department will soon say goodbye to Chief Robert Ratliff after more than three decades of service. MSPR's Arlo Barnett has the story.
I've been with the department for over 34 years, almost 34 and a half years, and last 10 has been as chief.
Rob Ratliff has put in his time with the APD. He came on board in 1982 as a patrolman and became chief 10 years ago. He's an Ashland native and studied at Moorhead State University while working for Armco Steel before he got started in law enforcement. He hasn't turned back.
So I was going to Moorhead for industrial management at the time and working down there, and that's what I planned to do. But this opportunity came up, and at the time it was just because I needed a job. But it didn't take long to realize that it was more than a job. It was a career. And, you know, I have no regrets at all. I have other people that I worked with down there that worked some, was laid off some, you know, was off and on, and now they're not working. So mine has been steady, and I have absolutely no regrets.
Ratliff's time on the job has changed since 82, however. He says the day-to-day realities of being an officer aren't the same as they used to be.
There's been so many changes, you know, going back through the years, you know, in equipment, technology. You know, folks now don't know what it's like to write a report. We actually had to write reports. So there's just been so much advancement in technology that, and even now it's hard to keep up with all the changes.
In particular, Ratliff notes a departure from manual reconnaissance.
You know, in video equipment, when we came on, there was no video equipment. Then we went to video in the car, and now we got video on the officers. And, you know, it's just everything just keeps progressing, and it's really hard to keep up with that.
Ratliff says the upgrades mean that standards for information-based training have gone up and make today's officers a more highly specialized group.
Training when I hired on was 10 weeks, and now it's up to 23 weeks. And then they come back to us, and we have 12 weeks of training for them here. So, you know, by the time we do a hiring process, it takes 3 to 4 months. They go to the academy, 23 weeks, and then 12 weeks with us. It's over a year before we can get those people on the road.
But despite this increasingly steep order, Ratliff is confident in the abilities of his team, especially as he leaves them with a familiar successor. Major Todd Kelly was tapped by city commissioners on Thursday. He spent 29 years on the force, most recently as Ratliff's second-in-command and as head of the Field Operations Division. Kelly will begin acting as chief in Ratliff's absence. Ratliff's last day on the job is June 17th, and he's officially retiring in August. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Arlo Barnett.
4:49, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio, All Things Considered from NPR. At 5 o'clock this afternoon, and Sean has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Innovation Network at MSU. The Innovation Network supports and promotes entrepreneurship by providing business consulting to entrepreneurs, small businesses, innovative nonprofits, and inventors. The network also works in Eastern Kentucky schools to teach entrepreneurship and promote the high-tech industries of the future, such as drones and space science. To learn how the Innovation Network helps the entrepreneurs of today while encouraging the entrepreneurs of tomorrow, the phone number is 606-783-9536.
New recruits for MSU. Good afternoon. This is MSPR Sports Report. I'm Sean Delaney. The Morehead State football team has added another crop of names to its 2016 recruiting class. 20 defensive players and 3 special teamers will join the Eagles for preseason camp in August. They inked 18 offensive players last week. Coach Rob Tenier is excited that several of them will be on campus this summer to take classes and work out. He thinks that will give them the opportunity to develop some chemistry with MSU's veteran players.
And that's really important. And along with that is these freshmen will develop relationships within their class, their recruiting class, and those will go a long way with their time on campus and being involved in this football family.
One of MSU's signees is from the area, defensive tackle Taylor Broughton of Ashland Blazer High School. The Cincinnati Reds are off today as they prepare to begin a 3-game series with St. Louis tomorrow evening at Great American Ballpark. The Reds saw their 4-game winning streak end Sunday with a 10-9 home loss to Washington. Manager Brian Price, though, is proud of how his team showed some fight, even after it fell behind the Nationals by 5 runs.
We play like this, play with this intensity, play with this type of execution. We're getting better. We're getting better, and I'm proud of these guys for playing that hard for 9 innings in a game that could have been very easily won that they shut it down and they didn't.
Despite winning 5 of their last 7, the Reds are still just 21-36 this season and sit last in the NL Central. Louisville is headed to its 4th straight NCAA baseball tournament, Super Regional. The Cardinals advanced out of the regional they were hosting Sunday with a 3-1 victory over Wright State at Jim Patterson Stadium. Coach Dan McDonald says his players did a great job over the weekend.
You got to pitch and play defense, and some days you can score 10 runs, and other days you can only score 3. So I just thought it was a complete effort, and very happy to be sitting here just having won an NCAA regional.
Where and who Louisville will play in Super Regional action will be announced tonight. Johnson Central's coach is excited about having his Golden Eagles play in this week's state baseball tournament in Lexington. Central faces Highlands at 11 a.m. on Thursday in Lexington. The Golden Eagles won this year's 15th region title despite having just 2 seniors on their roster. Hall, though, says his ball club's success this season didn't come as a surprise to him and his coaching staff.
Going in, yeah, we knew that we were very capable. We didn't know how it was going to play out because of the inexperience and the youth. But, as we got going and I've been way through the year, we think, we can compete with anybody. It could be special, and we just have to see how it goes.
Johnson Central will carry a 32-9 record into the Sweet 16. As he prepares his team for a state tournament appearance, East Carter softball coach Derek Calhoun believes the Lady Raiders likely became this year's 16th region champs several months ago. Calhoun says their 1-0 defeat against Boyd County in last year's regional title game provided his Lady Raiders with the motivation they needed to win the 2016 crown.
When the season was over, last year, that Boyd County loss, in 12 innings was kind of bitter in their mouth. I mean, they wanted to get back in there in the on the field, hitting, doing some fielding and stuff. And I mean, I had girls that started last October that was coming to, 12 or 13 girls that wanted to work hard and get better.
34-0 East Carter will open state tourney action on Thursday at 6 p.m. against East Jessamine. The Golden State Warriors are just 2 games away from becoming back-to-back NBA champions. Golden State's 110-77 victory in Cleveland last night put them up 2-0 over the struggling Cavaliers, who are looking to stem the Warriors' momentum come Game 3. Cavs guard Kyrie Irving shot 36% with 10 points Sunday night. He told reporters his team needs to be at their best to stop the Warriors in Oakland.
It's going to take a full 48-minute game to beat these guys. And we start out the first quarter great, defensive end, and we're feeling good. And, we just got to keep consistency on both ends of the floor, keeping up our physicality.
Game 3 is set for Wednesday at 9 o'clock Eastern. Speaking of the Warriors, point guard Steph Curry has withdrawn from consideration for the coming Olympics. The reigning MVP said in a statement today that he's looking to rest his ankle and knee over the summer. Curry missed 6 games this postseason with a right knee injury. UFC announced over the weekend that former heavyweight champion Brock Lesnar would be returning to fight in what is considered to be one of the company's most anticipated events. In an interview with ESPN this morning, he says that his decision to step down, quote, haunted him.
I'm a big believer in living out your dreams and facing your fears and just facing the reality of, I don't want to be sitting 20 years from now saying, you know what, son, you should have went and did that. And here I am. And what on the biggest stage of them all, I was on UFC 100, so why not be on UFC 200?
Lesnar has not stepped foot in the octagon since UFC 141, a full 5 years for the former champ. He'll walk in with a career record of 5-3. And finally tonight, Kurt Busch won the rain-delayed Sprint Cup Exalta 400 in Long Pond, Pennsylvania. He crossed the finish line just ahead of Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Brad Keselowski. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Sean Delaney.
Support for MSPR comes from Morehead State Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Sponsorships, reservations, and more information from MSU Athletics at 783-9052.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed higher with energy leading as oil rose after comments from Fed Chair Janet Yellen remained positive on the economy while omitting a specific reference to the timing of a rate hike. Comments by several Fed governors today indicated the Fed would probably not raise rates this month. And the Dow Industrials finished with a gain of 113.27 at 17,920.33. The S&P 500 was up 10.28 at 2109.41. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 26.2 at 4968.71. New York Stock Exchange breadth was just over 2-1 in favor of winning stocks over losers. The S&P 500 closed at its highest level since November 3rd and is now just 1.1% below its 52-week intraday high. Energy stocks jumped about 2%, having their best day since April, and U.S. crude oil futures themselves settled at their highest level since last July. And U.S. crude oil futures were up 2.2% at $49.69 a barrel, and Brent crude traded just above $50 a barrel to hit a fresh high for the year. The gains in oil were supported by a soft U.S. dollar and near-term supply disruptions from attacks on the Nigerian oil infrastructure. In Asia, stocks closed mixed with the Shanghai Composite and Nikkei 225 slightly lower and the Hang Seng about 0.5% higher, and the major European indices were slightly higher while bank stocks lagged. Among Dow Jones Industrial stocks today, your winners were Boeing, which was up over 3.5%, and Caterpillar, which was up almost 2%. And your losers among Dow stocks were Home Depot, which was down almost 2%, and Verizon, which was down 0.4%. In the S&P 500, your winners included Transocean, which was up almost 15%, and Chesapeake Energy, which was up almost 12%. And your losers in the S&P 500 were Tyson Foods and AbbVie, which were both down over 3%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up 86 cents at 115.12, CSX down 14 cents at 26.50, AEP down 10 cents at 65.71, AK Steel down a penny at 4.67, Marathon Petroleum down 16 cents at 35.30, and Anthem was up 57 cents at 132.41. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, mostly clear in the evening, then partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers after midnight, lows in the lower 60s, chance of rain 20%. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-70s. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy in the evening, then clearing, cooler with lows in the lower 50s. On Wednesday, sunny, highs in the mid-70s. Wednesday night, clear, lows in the upper 40s. And on Thursday, sunny, highs in the upper 70s. Thursday night, partly cloudy, lows in the upper 50s. In Ashland, it is 84 degrees. In Flemingsburg, 80 degrees. Inez, 83. Lexington, 82. Winchester, 81. And here in Morehead on the campus of MSU, it's 83 degrees.
That's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Baraz, Ellen Barnett, Samantha Morrill, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, Ashley Chapman, Kyle Blankenbuehler, and Eric Matthews. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, Dan Translator, W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jacob Lindberg and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.